This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Laughing at Maria Bamford's comedy can sometimes make you feel uncomfortable. And that's probably because her comedy is so raw and honest.
Recently, I bought a house for a dollar. And I'm kind of bad about that. My neighbor is super nice. Neighbor Carlos came over. He said, I hope you don't mind living next to a Mexican because we leave on our lawn. I said, well, if we're going to talk in stereotypes, I hope you don't mind living next to a white lady because I'm going to steal that.
Manifest destiny. It's kind of already mine.
Maria Bamford has dealt with serious social issues and also personal issues. She has battled OCD, bipolar disorder, suicidal thoughts. She's been hospitalized several times. That stuff isn't funny. But when you hear Maria Bamford talk about it, it is hard not to laugh and maybe even come to a deeper understanding. She's laughing right now. Maria Bamford is the American Comedy Awards Best Club Comic of 2014. She's in town to headline the North Carolina Comedy Arts Festival and is going to be performing tomorrow night at the Carolina Theater at 8 o'clock. But first, Maria Bamford is here with us. Welcome. So good to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me, Frank. This is very exciting. And it is hilarious to hear that. yes, the hospitalizations weren't funny at the time, in retrospect. Very funny stuff.
But that's it. Talk about that. I mean, about exposing. I mean, if it weren't for the kind of tension that we feel over these things, there's no such thing as humor, right? I mean,
you got to create the. I mean, I think there are different kinds of humor where it's like the element of surprise, but there's some sort of tension that goes into it. But I think it can either be surprise or shock or something. Any number of things.
Do you have any?
I don't know the biology of it.
Well, you don't need to because when you expose the power of it, I think, in some ways. But I wonder if you worry about it or if you feel any tension yourself about talking about these issues. It's personal. You have it. But then there are other people who are going through this. And is there any tension for you in this kind of thing?
I mean, with the internet, I think as a comedian, I'm often preaching to the choir. I'm often talking to people who are very much on my side, that type of thing. So I think there's a lot more tension were I to do a sports bar in Orange County, California. I might feel a little bit more tension.
Well, you know, along those lines, I have to say, in going through the clips and running through the YouTube, as we do so often.
That's how we do our
research here.
YouTube.
You've got a great piece that you did about this horrible moment on talk radio, like your worst moment on radio.
Yeah. I mean, of course, I've built it up to be this huge thing, but it was about 10 years ago. Oftentimes, you have to promote the show, so as we are doing right now. And it was like 6 o'clock in the morning, and it was a sort of a Howard Stern type show, which I am also, I'm not very good at that. And at the comic, there's some comics, Kathy Griffin, I can think of offhand, is just wonderful at it. And it's hilarious to, and I love Howard Stern. I love that show, but you got to be, you know, tough and you got to talk back and that type of thing. And it was one of those hip shows. And the guy said, you're not funny.
Well, I think he
you're
also
schizophrenic.
Told me
yeah, he told said me you're I schizophrenic, and because yeah. I do, and I said, oh, and so the joke is the opportunity to say to people what I hoped I would have said. What I got, what I did in real life was I got teary-eyed, and I left in a little bit of not a little bit, a lot of shame, and I cowered at what I did. But at the end of the joke, I get to say to that guy. But not in front of that guy. I would say to that guy, hey, coward, somebody sings out their Batman poetry to a largely hostile Barnes & Noble crowd, or if you crank out a raw, unedited skull out of a Granny Smith apple, pop that on a Bratz doll torso, upload that to Etsy, price it high. If you think of doing a nude clown opera, you write it, you cast it, and you actually freaking do it, that doesn't show you're insane. It shows the symptoms of being hardworking and a huge success. Now, if you'll excuse me, I need to walk back along the freeway to the residence extended stay because I have faces to make in the bathroom mirror.
Maria Bamford, her imaginary conversation,
yes,
the one she didn't get to have with those. By the way, you pointed out that there were a bunch of old white guys. I don't know if you said white, but you said old, and they were
I think
white.
Not just white.
But they were old.
I think they were all multi-ethnic, but all old.
Old guys.
No.
You intimidated. It intimidated me. I thought, oh, boy, I better laugh at jokes even if I don't like them.
I do like them. No, but it's okay. It's okay to have an opinion about what you think isn't funny or not funny. I think the point I was trying to make with that was that there's a stigma against mental illness, like people saying schizophrenia as if that would be a bad thing or something to be ashamed of or, moral failing.
Right.
Whereas schizophrenia, as you can see from the streets of our cities, is a hilarious disease. Not so much. Not so very funny. Yeah. It is a devastating illness.
Your family is also the subject of your humor, in particular your mother. Tell us about that.
Well, my mom is very, and I'm sure like many mothers, can really, you know, is able to hold the dark and the light in one conversation. Oh, honey, I couldn't find you in the house, and I called your sister and was concerned. So I said, you know, I'm worried she's going to kill herself, but I have a hair appointment in town. And, you know, how much life goes on, you know, with you have the horrible thing and the lightness right next to each other oftentimes.
I can tell, you know, through your humor, it seems to me that you sort of, on the one hand, marvel at the way she can do it, but on the other hand, kind of are scratching your head at sort of, Mom, how is that possible? You know, like, that doesn't make any sense.
I'm so jealous of her.
Yeah.
Like, she is, I hope I have the right pronunciation on this, ebullient?
I think that's good enough for
ebullient,
us. It's public radio. You can say whatever you want.
Thanks, public radio. You're so supportive. Hey. They're not working on tips over here. Why don't you join up?
Ask my mom the series. Tell us about it. Tell us about the series itself.
I dress up with my mom and answer questions that I want to ask her. And yeah, my mom just has she's just a delightful person, or she has a very good – it's almost like she's high.
I think we've got a clip here, actually, that illustrates exactly what you're saying.
Thank you.
Ask my mom, and Maria Bamford is here.
Mom, here's a question. I was raised without religion, and I can't get myself to believe, but I'm jealous of the contentment, purpose, and peace of mind that religious and spiritual types seem to have. How can I get the same results but without all the hocus-pocus?
Well, you just go to a temple or a mosque or a church or a sit-in and you just pretend. You just look around and say, oh, okay, you know, and then the fact that you don't believe, it makes you even more of a believer, really. All of the prophets doubted. Sweetie, what is your Facebook password? Is it I love pugs?
What? No!
Yeah, Maria Bamford from her online series, Ask My Mom.
Yes.
But that's it. She kind of can hold all those things together. In fact, a joke that you told on that aforementioned radio show, I thought was hilarious, and apparently they didn't laugh. I wonder if they didn't conspire to not laugh before the show, because it was about your mother's non sequiturs on your message machine, which I thought was actually pretty funny. But again, the sense of...
Everybody has strong opinions about... Well, probably everything, but that's the great thing about living in a free world is that you can say you don't like something.
You don't like it.
And I get that.
But you know, in some ways, and to sort of think just a little bit more deeply about this whole project, this humor project, and again, the way your mom can bring the light and the dark together, and say, how do you walk through the world like that? It seems so like a living non sequitur in some ways. How can you just sort of dismiss these things and be so happy? But doesn't humor do that to us in another way? Isn't it a way of saying, take this thing that we have seen only one way, that we've seen it only one way, there's a pro and a con, and then turn it just a little bit this way and now look at it again, and suddenly the unbearable becomes sufferable. And
I've done some jokes about, you know, suicide, you know, if you start thinking I'm a waste of space and I'm a burden, remember that also describes the Grand Canyon. Oh, but I owe people a lot of money and everybody hates me. Hello, Europe. Oh, but I've killed someone. Hey, so have onion rings, firecrackers. Who gives a crap? oh, but I've done some other horrible, unspeakable, unforgivable thing. Google it. Somebody's done exactly what you have done or worse, has gotten past it and is currently on a book tour. You're never alone.
Maria Bamford is going to be at the Carolina Theater tomorrow night as part of a weekend comedy festival here in the Triangle. You know, this brings to mind, too, your voices. You do these great characterizations and jump in and out of them. I think it's just marvelous stuff. It's great to listen to.
Thank you. Thank you. Well,
is it something you want to do? I mean, you want to do?
Well, the one thing I do like coming to liberal pockets of the South, because that's the only place you can hear things like, excuse me, Sheriff, my wife and I are post-op trans, and we're just wondering if you could point us in the direction of any vegan options, trying to take care of ourselves.
did you do that here?
No. Well, you overhear that, you know, they are surprising, which is, it's very exciting. You know, I'm going to sing a little song I wrote the other day about universal health care, because it's a basal, it's a basic human right. Hmm. My granddaddy, my granddaughter asked me, why don't we move to Sweden? Anyways,
yeah, I just think those people coming over here and, you know, undercutting us, taking our jobs, it reminds me of my great-great-great-great-grandmother. She came over here because when they were starving. Bienvenidos.
Maria Bamford today on The State of Things, going to be at the Carolina Theater tomorrow night. Do you see those people when you talk? I mean, when you go in and out of characterizations like that, do they have to become vivid for you, or...?
I don't know what's happening in my brain, but it's fun. I think it's my own voice is irritating, some of fun, and so I like to do other voices too.
That's interesting. Did you do that always? I mean, in school, did you have a sense that your voice was irritating and that you needed something to do?
Yeah,
something?
I was told.
Oh wow!
Stop talking that baby voice. It's like, my sister has the same voice. Why isn't she getting any flack on this? I think I did start mimicking commercials and stuff like that. And it does get people's attention if you change your voice. And people don't normally hear higher voices. I think that they've done scientific studies of that. Right? Am I right?
You're
public
right.
Radio,
yeah,
listeners, there's right. Nothing more powerful than an article. Yeah. An article that you can't reference exactly where you read it.
It's definitely true that sort of there's been plenty of research on the power of the male voice in deeper tones to command attention and authority and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And if you can do it with a British accent, even better in America.
Yes.
Even better.
Yes.
Even better. We sometimes just find people with British accents to talk to, even though they're not experts.
Yes, no.
And then we fake up some credentials, they get on the show, and it's a great show.
It's a great comfort.
We strive for accuracy. On our show. Do you also dating is a very important part. I want to play a clip here that illustrates how you how your dating life plays an important part in your comedy.
I used to be very afraid of relationships. I'm not sure why. Somebody would ask me out, I'd say, just take my purse, don't hurt me.
No, I just want to get to know you.
I have nothing of value.
Anyway, you just seem like an interesting person. Who's that?
Maria Bamford from her album Ask Me About My New God is on The State of Things today. I would imagine just being on the road as much as you are, assuming that you're on the road a lot, can you have even a dating life?
Oh, I am engaged. I'm fully engaged.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much. We are deeply in love. I'm looking into his eyeballs right now. Oh, he's such a dream.
So if he's with you, it's really hard to date, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
when am I going to get out there? It's very wonderful. We met on the internet, and I've been together, it'll be almost 2 years, and I'm extremely grateful. I'm in no way smug.
Mm-hmm.
But I did a lot of internet dating, and my one piece of advice is be yourself. You know, like before I would put as my screen name things like funny, thoughtful, which is too vague, too wide a net.
Mm-hmm.
You're casting there. I put in Hogbook, changed my name to Hogbook, one guy. Because I like the sound of how hog book sounds together. And wouldn't it be fun if he wrote about a book about hogs and called it Hog Book? Anyways, one guy in all of Los Angeles County. And
is he the guy?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
The Hog Book did it.
Yeah, it did it.
Oh, wow.
Because that separates the wheat from the chaff.
Is he a comedian?
No, he's a painter, but he just took a stand-up comedy class that I gave him for Christmas. So he's starting out. It's going to be a family business.
But it's terrifying, isn't it? I mean, what if he's like funnier than you?
Well, that would be great.
Yeah.
Because then
I could get out of here.
No. Well, I think it's very subjective. Also,
yeah.
I mean, the whole the competitive idea of the arts.
Yeah.
I'm acting to win.
Yeah.
It's awful ridiculous.
Weird. I know there's a contest coming up this weekend. We're going to talk about it. I kind of am with you. I'm all for the fun of it.
Yeah,
I'm all for this great way to showcase the talent. Would that there were not a winner. But also part of this is that we've talked a little bit about your mother, but your dad was influential in you in getting you confidence, building your confidence.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. My dad, he was very supportive and still is supportive. And he sends me boxes of cookies that were made. He always forgets to put one thing in, so it's usually something very important that he's forgotten to put in, like an egg or flour or butter, and that's what makes them special.
Dad, did you leave something out?
Yeah.
Well, he's also kind of a key player in what you call, I believe it's emotional whack-a-mole.
Yeah, joy whack-a-mole. And I basically it's making fun of myself because I do it too. You know, where somebody tells you something they're really excited about, and then the other person slams it down. My dad and I were talking, and said, "Oh, Dad, I got this new top. Oh, it's really nice. Yeah, guess how much? I don't know. $50. No, $5. That's a good deal. Yeah, it's like $5. How do they do it? Oh, I was reading about that slavery. Yeah, no, they don't pay them." And then they pass the savings on to you, which is very true. Very true.
We laugh, but we cry. I mean, that's it.
Yeah. There is a reason things are so cheap is because someone is not being paid.
Right.
It's
the way, I mean, it's this very cool thing where you take this phrase that we hear over and over again, we pass the savings on to you. It's the tagline of every commercial, and we just sort of let it go. And once you reframe it, the only thing we can do is laugh, and then a moment later think, oh my God, no more $5 tops for me.
Well, yeah, that it's worth it to buy something that's made locally by somebody who's being paid well, or at least you might, see their face. Because, I mean, there's something about the global fair trade thing where it's like you don't have any connection with the person who's farming or making or putting together, so you don't see how their either enjoyment or their suffering while they're putting together your tennis shoes. And so that's I think it's important to buy local. Is anyone making any shoes here?
We could.
Okay.
I just don't need any, so I might wait until after the show to get started.
My dad just learned to make shoes.
Did he really?
In his retirement, yeah. Made a pair of shoes. Hasn't made me any. I think he's done enough, Maria. He's done enough.
Maria Bamford, what a pleasure. Thank you so much for talking
with
us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Maria Bamford, one of America's premier stand-up comedians in town to headline the North Carolina Comedy Arts Festival. Going to be performing tomorrow night at the Carolina Theater. You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. And she's going to stay with us for our next segment. We're going to talk more about stand-up comedy on the State of Things. You stay with us as well, please.